before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to give us reminders of the significance of your truth in our lives. And so now, Father, we ask that you help us to set aside the things of the world, to help us, Lord, to set aside the thoughts that distract us from what you want us to know through your message, through your truth. And so we give you thanks for these words, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So how many days do we have until Christmas? Has anybody been, how many? Eight? Wow, that came out fast. I thought we might have to play a little game there, but I guess not. What's that? Yes, my shopping is done. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I learned early the wrath. I mean, Yeah, my shopping's done. I hope your shopping's done. Yeah. I can't help you, Ronnie. I can't help you. You're on your own, buddy. Yeah, that's a bust you're just going to have to throw yourself under. Well, I think that the season brings up a lot of things to us, and certainly, you know, there is the hustle and bustle of trying to get our Christmas shopping done, and certainly I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it's a sin to Christmas shop, okay? I'm not going to do that. You know, the Lord provides, and so I hope you receive that and look at that in the way that it was meant to be. It's a provision. It's a way for us to celebrate, and that's what we do. But I think, though, that at the same time that as we do that, as we remind ourselves, you know, of the things of Christmas and we go through those things, we forget something. We forget about, you know, the real meaning. And that almost sounds cliche now, but, you know, but we do forget what it is that we're celebrating here. We forget that that there's something significant that was going on during the time in the birth of Christ and that it was an opportunity. And so I think that even through all these years, whether we, you know, we believe, or, you know, that Christ was born on December 25th, or we believe that he was born sometime in April or May, you know, what nothing changes, you see. What happens is that we gather ourselves together and we're organized, you know, we try to be orderly in the things that we do to celebrate and to worship our God, to praise him. And so he continues then to place in our hearts these reminders, and that's really what Christmas is. It's a reminder that we remember that when Christ was born, began his time in the world so that then we could see his death and resurrection, that we would be saved. And so you see, so as we get this reminder, then we need to remember who it is that gives us the reminder. Well, it's God, Jesus Christ himself, that he gives this to us so that we can see these things as the opportunities. So I hope that as we go through our Christmas season, that we're looking at this time period, the 8 days that we have left, you know, as the 8 days that are going by, as we have this opportunity to not only remind ourselves, but remind others what this is all about. You see, I can't think of a greater time that we would set aside on our calendars, on our very busy calendars, that we would have this great time that we would say, this is what we celebrate. This is our opportunity then to stand in the world who really rejects Jesus Christ, to stand out there in the darkness and to say to them, this is what it's about. This is what Christmas is all about, is to make sure that you have the right gifts under the tree. No, that's not it. It's to remind them that Jesus Christ was born so that you could live. Jesus Christ was born so that you would have hope, that you would know peace in your life. This is the time that he has given us to remember that. Certainly that should be every day, don't you think? Yeah, it should be every day. That should be every day of our lives that we do that. But we struggle, don't we? We struggle with that. I'm with you. I understand. I struggle with that too. That every day that you think and that you should and that you don't. But here then is this one time that we're set up in all the orderliness of the church, that God has worked through his church, whether we agree with the dates or not, that God has set up through our church, through the church, his church, this opportunity that we could speak of our faith. And other people expect it. Other people are talking about Christmas. Other people are talking about what they're going to do December 25th. And these are people who don't know Christ or say they know Christ and don't live it out. Look at this opportunity that we've been given in this season. The whole world sets this aside and says something special happens on this day. Now, they, like a lot of us, they can follow the patterns of the world, or they can follow the patterns of Jesus Christ. You know, and Christ has given us this to remind us what we're supposed to do, why we're here. And that as we look at this, and maybe we kind of settle aside of some of these things, this morning we got a really good lesson on the David and Goliath story, and that we're not David, that we're the Israelites who stood by and did nothing. They hid, they were in fear, they cowered from the enemies of God. But yet here we have this opportunity during this time to stand up and to let God lead us to be brave, to be courageous, to be bold in our faith. But how? How are we going to do that? How are we going to make that happen? That if we cower when God's enemies come, what are we supposed to do? Where do we find that courage? Do we hide in the church? Do we hide in Bible study? Do we hide in the sermons? Do we hide in the songs? How do we do this? Well, you see, we rely on the work of God. We rely on what God has done. We rely on what God is doing. And we rely on what God will do. And you see, we speak of this often, but I don't think we give it enough attention. And I'm at fault for that. If we're not speaking on that often enough from the pulpit, then that's my fault. That is not your fault. But it is something that we should come to terms on. It is something that we should understand with each other. You see, God works through us in the Holy Spirit. He's the one that emboldens us. He's the one that shows us the way. He's the one that gives us His power to do His work. He's the one that reminds. He's the one that continues to keep us on the path. The Holy Spirit was sent to us to give us comfort. The Holy Spirit was sent to us so that we could have peace. The Holy Spirit was sent to us so that we could be convicted when we're walking away from God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that stands next to us and walks with us. You see, the Holy Spirit is a being. He's not your conscience, although He will stir your conscience. He's not the one that, you know, he's like, you know, you eat something like a bad burrito or something, you know, and gives you gas. He's not gas. He's not the circumstances that we look at sometimes and say, well, that was lucky. No, He's not luck. He's a being. The reality of Him is the reality of Jesus Christ and God. The reality of the Holy Spirit as He works continues to show Himself. We don't see the wind, but we know the wind blows. And when it blows, we see the effects that it has on the world around us. We can see that. We can understand those things. And so we look for those things. We see for the wind that blows through us. And certainly I hope that you're praying that God sends His Holy Spirit, His Holy Wind, into the valley of death and the valley of darkness. For you see, that's what we call upon. We call upon Jesus Christ. And we call upon that because the Holy Spirit touches us. And that's where I want to look here today in our scripture. I want to look at this and show you then how God works in the world that He created. What it is we're looking for. What should we see in our lives? How do we know when we're fulfilling what God has given us in this great gift of His Son? The baby Jesus. The man Jesus. How do we know? So I'm going to see if I can help you with that today. So if we take a look at our scripture, we're in chapter 1. And so if you would, just turn the page and go back to the beginning of chapter 1 and look at verse 15. Now I'm going to leave you with these examples. I'm hoping that maybe you'll look at them a little bit in depth later. So if you go and look in chapter 1 and verse 15, the angel of the Lord has come to Zechariah, and so he's telling Zechariah of the son that he's going to have and who he will be. He says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never he's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. Okay, so we already have talk of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be filled with this Holy Spirit. The Spirit will be, even before he is born, the Holy Spirit will be there with you. Now, if you would slide with me to verse 35. Now, Mary has been visited by an angel, and he's telling her about this baby that she's going to have. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now come with me to verse 41, a little bit further in. Mary and Elizabeth are together. Mary's carrying the baby Jesus. Elizabeth is carrying John the Baptist, the baby John. And so then in 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Already the baby is overcome and overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus is in his presence, the Holy Spirit moves, and Elizabeth feels the Holy Spirit. And so they're filled with that. It's the presence of Jesus Christ. That when Christ is near us, when Christ is with us, when we're thinking about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is working us. Now, let's look at our scripture in verse 67. The father, his father, Zechariah, and he's talking about John the Baptist's father here. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. He proclaimed John the Baptist, but through Jesus Christ, he proclaimed that John the Baptist would serve Jesus. He proclaimed these things because the Holy Spirit moved upon him. Zechariah, you see, he didn't believe that he would have a son. He didn't believe that. And when he was serving the Lord in the temple, the angel came to him and brought him this prophecy, told him that he would have a son, that his wife Elizabeth, and he didn't know how that was going to work because they were both too old to have children anymore. So he didn't know how it was going to work. So he questions that. But what happens is then he's silenced by the angel, said, "You won't speak until the baby is born." And then he's told that he would name him John. So sure enough then, when the baby is born, when John the Baptist is born, Zechariah can speak. And not only does he speak, but he sings. He praises the Lord. He praises the Lord. So he's gone all this time, gestation period, 9 months, right around there somewhere. More the people in here know more about that than I do. You know, but as he waits and he waits and he waits, for that long he can't talk. For that long he is silent. He says nothing. He can't say anything. And so then when the time comes that his son is born, the Holy Spirit moves on him. And what's the first thing that he does? He thinks about the Lord and he praises the Lord for what he has done. This is when we start to see the Holy Spirit working in us. When the Holy Spirit works in us, then we think of the Lord. When we think of the Lord, the Holy Spirit works in us. They are bound together. That as we bring ourselves to understand what is going on in our lives, the Holy Spirit is waiting on you to call on Him and to call on the Lord. You see, this is a relationship. This is a relationship that you have with the Lord. And so as we call upon Him and He works in us, we will see Him come in different ways. We will see Him come to us. Now, we're not talking about throwing yourself on the ground and jerking around, you know, like you've been electrocuted. What we're talking about is your life. We're talking about your daily struggles. We're talking about the things that you move in the world. That when you walk through the world, that the Spirit touches you, then you know that you're near the Lord. That He comes to you and He brings you something to do or something to say or something to see, that He continues to grow you because you have given yourself to Him. You've committed yourself to Him in relationship. And that as He does that, then the only words that you can speak are His words. The only thoughts that you can have are His thoughts. So you see, the words and the thoughts that aren't of God are of the world. And that's when we know if we're following the world, when we can't hear His voice, when we don't feel His presence. But how do we know that these things work? Well, He demonstrates them to us. He has shown this to us. He has given us this witness that we can see how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And so when we walk among the world, and the Spirit walks with us, then our thoughts, all of our actions, all of our deeds are all focused on Him. Yes, even when you're buying Christmas presents. No matter what we do, the Holy Spirit stands next to us. But to have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we must look to Christ. We must look to the Lord our God so that the Holy Spirit then will act. Let's take a look at our scripture here and see how then that kind of evolves for Zechariah and his song. And let's go to verse 71. I'm going to have you meet me there, because as he's proclaiming the salvation that's coming in the world, he's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come into the world. The promised Savior has finally come. But when he comes into a world that's dark. When he comes here, he's in a world that's full of chaos and confusion. And not necessarily because they just can't get their act together, but because they don't know him. They have wandered away from God. And as they have wandered away from God and he comes in here, they still don't quite understand what it is that they're looking at. But God is helping them to understand. So this is what we find then in verse 71. Zechariah says, "Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." Okay, so right away, Zechariah's reference here in his prophecy is to the world. He's going to save us from the world, that he's going to lift us up. Remember, Jesus comes into Jerusalem for the first time, that he comes in a big celebration, and they think we're going to put our king finally on the throne. But that never takes place. It never happens. Because what they don't realize is he's king all along. He's creator. He's God. And that as he comes into the world, and they try to understand, it's hard for us to pull ourselves away from the world. Even in our walk, it's hard for us to separate ourselves. But that's okay, because God has us covered. God is still helping us to understand what salvation is. He says, "Look into the world, because I'm going to show you my power. I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to work through you in the Holy Spirit. If you believe in me and you follow me, I will work through you if I am the only thing that matters to you." And so as Zechariah gives this prophecy, and he talks about the salvation from the enemy, certainly, you know, he's thinking, you know, we're going to be lifted up from their hands. They will no longer attack us. But, you know, but that didn't really happen, did it? Nor has it happened. But so he's thinking in terms of what is called a political viewpoint. He's thinking in terms of nations in the world. He's thinking in terms of what's happening here. But God is going to help him to understand what that means. God's going to help him to understand, not only your kingdoms do I own, but I own all of you. That everything is his. Okay, so now let's slide a little bit further down into 77. Here's where he brings it back into the spiritual realm. He says, "To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." You see, there's more at stake here than him just protecting us from our enemies. But rather, it's to save us, to not be an enemy against God. That as he brings us out of the darkness, as he brings us out, he gives us this hope. He says, "You've been condemned. You're in a world where you're condemned. You're living in that world in condemnation. But Jesus comes into the world and he shows us hope. He shows us salvation. He shows us a way out." And then as he gives us that hope and that salvation, we must be at peace with him. And he gives us that peace if we give ourselves to him. And that as we give ourselves to him, then he reflects in us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then continues to talk with us and continues to walk with us and help us to understand the things that we're supposed to do. And so as we look at this, we realize that it's not just about protecting me from danger, but rather it's protecting me from being condemned forever. And so he gives us salvation. He has us in the world, in the political sense. But he has us then also living in the spiritual sense. This is where we see the combination of the two together. That one rescues us from the other. But as we go through all this, we are confused. Sometimes we wander back into the geography, to the political environment. We wander back into those things and we start to look at ourselves and we deal with things in the world. We want to be our own gods. We want to be in charge of our own destiny. But God says, "I have your destiny. That as you walk with me, my Holy Spirit will help you to understand. My Holy Spirit will teach you the things that you need to know so that you stay on the path to the spiritual world, that you stay on the path to the one who created you." Well, so we look at Christmas, and we wonder a lot of things about that, you know, that the Holy Spirit is working on us, that we've been given this wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Every year at this time, have you noticed that? Every year, come this time of year, we get this wonderful opportunity, you know, to show our faith in Jesus Christ. We have this wonderful thing that comes, and it's on the calendar. December 25th is on the calendar. It says Christmas, right? Christmas, the Mass of Christ, the celebration of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say Happy Holiday on my calendar, by the way. Maybe it says that on yours, but mine says Christmas. So we've taken that day and we set it aside and we say, wow, here we go. Well, what happens is then that we all of a sudden we convert that back into the world, you know, and we convert that back into the political sense that Zechariah says we'll be rescued from our enemies. And we say, hey, we got Christmas. What do you got? Do you recognize that the Jews, now maybe this is just me, but the Jews don't celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate that. But yet here Jesus, son of Joseph, John the Baptist, son of Zacharias, guess what they are? They're Jews. They're Jews. And so as they're born into this, and we see kind of this odd kind of combination here, we're coming back to Luke, you know, who himself was a Gentile, but he's writing about a whole bunch of Jews. And so as he writes about this society, this community, this nation of people, as he writes about them, he knows he's writing about the Jews. So as he looks at them and he writes about them, he knows this one thing. The Savior came from the Jews. That out of that nation of people, that he was chosen, that he's the one, he became the chosen one, he became the anointed one, he became the man that would die for our sins, the perfect man, the only perfect sacrifice. That this baby that was born, he was born into this culture, he was born into that nation, and we ask ourselves then, why? The answer is, we don't know. You see, sometimes God doesn't feel it necessary to explain some things to Pastor Ben. And when he does that, then Pastor Ben only has, well, actually I have two options. I can either listen to what he says, or I can deny it. Pastor Ben learned a long time ago that you don't deny God because he's going to have his will no matter what. So I follow what he says. But here's the thing, that I find that is very funny, that is not funny, but funny ironic, that when you think about Christmas and we think about how we have that, that we're celebrating a Jew. Okay, we're celebrating Jesus Christ, you know, the Lord God. And we celebrate him as he came into the world, and we celebrate this baby. But you know, and we see this kind of narrow focus in all of our scriptures, all around the Jews. It all has to do with this nation of Israel, that as they grow and they become more and more, that we start to see then that God has this perfect plan in place. We see God working this through the Holy Spirit. And then we find ourselves too, when we look at it, if the Holy Spirit is upon us, that certain things start to open up in our eyes. Certain things start to open up in our hearts. That we start to understand the sovereignty of God to choose. It's his right, because he's the creator, to choose the way that he's going to do things. Why a baby? Well, because there's a lesson in there for us. There's something that we look at. There's something that we need to understand. Why did he do this in a world that was imperfect? Well, because there's something there that he wants us to understand. There's something he wants us to learn. Why did he give us a baby that was born into perfection and we can't find that in ourselves now? Again, something that we're supposed to learn. That if we bring ourselves to understand these things, the only way that we can ever find them is in faith. And that if we give our faith to the Lord, if we give our trust to the Lord, he will help us to understand them then also in the Holy Spirit. Now, a little bit later, Paul the Apostle, he writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." Okay, so there's a reminder. It first came to the Jews, but then to the Gentiles. Be patient. Be patient. Wait. Because this is coming to you. It's coming to you in the form of the gospel. It's coming to you in the form of the good news. And that as I give this good news to you, then you will have this tremendous gift that will last you not only now, but for all eternity. That as you have this gift, it will not wind up with the cardboard boxes after Christmas. That it will be with you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that you will come to know this. But why did it come to the Jews first? Don't know. He chose that nation. It came to them. Be patient. Wait on the Lord, because the Lord is at work. And that as he brings this out, he will bring it to the rest of us, the Gentiles. Well, that happened. We talk of that in the past tense. It came to the Jews. First the Jews, and then the Gentiles. And then it came out into the rest of the world. But as God established his foothold into the world, for us to see him, to see the wind at work, that when he posted himself there, that then now we can see that, we understand it came out of the Jewish nation. That it came out of Israel. Now, we can question that, and some people do. Some people think that Israel is now the modern-day church. I'm not one of those. I believe there's a separation between Israel and the church. I believe that God still has a plan for the Jews and that they've become a big part of Revelation. Because here's what Paul says in Romans 2, verses 9 to 11. He says, "There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, and first for the Jew and then the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. So as God brings His salvation into the world, and we look around and we say, why me, not others? Well, that's a question that we probably will never be able to answer, because only God can. But God has a plan in place. You see, as He brings this plan into effect into the world through Jesus Christ, through the birth of this baby, that as we see this plan start to be carried out, this is why we must remind ourselves of this all the time. We must remember that we are this very small part of this very great plan. And this great plan cannot be carried out by any of our works or any of the things that we feel like we should do. He came into the Jewish nation. He came into Israel. And so as He brought His Savior out of Israel, out of the Jewish nation, we know that they will be a part of it again in the very end. But in the middle is when they're going to be reaching for all of us, the Gentiles. And as God does that, we wonder a lot of things about what He's doing. But the thing that we always need to remember, the confidence and the trust that we can have, is that God's plan is in effect, even when we don't understand it. And even when we look to the Holy Spirit and we say, well, how does that work? Is He a ghost? You know, what is He? Is he just, you know, is He some kind of figment of our imagination? But you know, you see, if we trust what Scripture tells us, if we trust what God has given us, we will start to understand. And we can only understand through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is a catch-22. It is kind of an odd gambit for us, that as we give our faith, then we believe. If we give our belief, then we have our faith. That as they come together, they come only by the power of God. Because these are things that we can't do. They come through the work of the Holy Spirit. That as we continue to grow, as we continue to be more, it's through the Holy Spirit then that we are brought back to this. You see, loved ones, I think that when we ask about questions about, well, how do I know? How do I know? And we want to know these things about ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, what kind of opportunity does the Holy Spirit have to work in us? What kind of opportunity do we give it? Do we give Him? That if we look to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, help me. Lord, show me. He will show you. Lord, I have no peace in my life. He will help you to have peace. You say, Lord, there's no comfort in my life. Then He will help you to have comfort. You see, all of these things that we should seek in the same way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, who sends us and brings us the Holy Spirit. And so as we open up our hearts, then He comes in. If we say we don't want that, then we won't get that. That you see that as we have our part in this, then we have this part in it that tells us that it starts with our faith. It starts with trust. It starts with belief. You see, Zacharias, I mean, you know, come on. He for 9 months, he said nothing. He said nothing. And then when God finally gave him his voice back, he didn't criticize God. He didn't criticize God's plan. What he did was he prophesied it. He spoke to the Lord. The Holy Spirit worked through him. He said, I'm just going to speak the Lord. I'm just going to do that. You see, so as he gives himself over to the Lord, the Holy Spirit works in him. If he would have refused to work in the Lord, he would have been Jonah running away. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't have worked in him. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have shown himself through him. But as we look at his prophecy and all the things that he has done for us, that if we see that he's given us this son, that we see that he has provided for us this look into this plan that he has asked us to trust him. He has asked us to not rebel against him any longer. Because the Lord God says that He will forgive us. Now, if you come with me to Luke chapter 3 and verse 3. This is John the Baptist now. This is the prophecy that has been spoken, that he would go out. And this is what John went and did with his life. First off, he gave everything else up for it. And then he went out and he did this. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, if you would slide a little bit further with me down to verse 7 of chapter 3, he said, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? You brood of vipers. Okay, so John comes in and he says, hey, look, I'm preaching forgiveness, repentance. You know, I'm preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sin, the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Right? So everybody kind of perks up. Everybody's listening. He says, now you come out and listen, and I will talk to you about this. I will talk to you about repentance. I'm going to talk to you about your sins and how you can be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you come on in and visit with me about that. So they all come in. They want to hear John's sermon, right? And so what's John's sermon start with? You brood of vipers. How about that? How about that? You know, what do you, you know, you can just imagine all of his public relations guys around him saying, oh no, don't call him brood of vipers, they won't come back. You can imagine that as he speaks this out to them, that they come to him and they're looking for comfort, they're looking for him for this forgiveness, right? And what does he say to them? You're a bunch of brood of vipers. You brood of vipers. Okay, now let's be frank here with this. Let's be open with this. Is that it's not really an insult as it sounds. What he's saying is, this is your condition. You see, for them, a brood of vipers, snakes, that when all these snakes are piled up together, that to them, that's evil. And so it's just this big, wriggling, gross, disgusting pile of snakes. Okay? That they're just, it's nothing but evil in this big pile of snakes. And so as we look at this, we get this picture in our mind about this big pile of snakes, we must understand that he's talking to them for the evil that they are. He's telling them the truth. Who warned you of the coming wrath? Who warned you? Who warned you? How did you come to Jesus Christ? How did you come to faith in Jesus? Was it because you convinced your mind that there was something that, oh yeah, this all makes sense. You know, I hear what he's saying. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to believe in Jesus today. You just woke up one day and said, you know what, I wasn't doing anything today. I thought I'd give up my Sundays and I'd just go ahead and believe in Jesus. No, not at all. You see, it was the sign of the Holy Spirit. It was all the things that you heard, and then maybe your mind opened up some, but it was still caught. It was still locked tight. There were still things you weren't going to let go. Even in your heart, there are still some things that you're not letting go. But as the Holy Spirit works on, He calls us, He touches us, He brings us to Him, then all of a sudden we start to realize that, yeah, you know what? John the Baptist, he's got that right. We are a brood of vipers. We were filled with evil when we came to Jesus. Why would Jesus want us? Because He loves us. Because He created us. He wants us to walk with Him. And so as He calls to you, you never respond. Now, I'm not saying you personally. I'm using that in the general sense. But the world, when we call to Him and we speak into the darkness, they hear it. They just will not respond. What they do is they give themselves back to the world. They say they'd rather listen to the world. But as we call out this Savior who was born on Christmas Day, we are calling out to them, or we should be calling out to them, the lostness, the darkness that they live in. We should be calling out to them into this hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. That as John went, he knew he was going to convict them. He knew that he was going to even offend them. But as he brought that out to him, there was nothing more important than that at that moment. That as they all stood there in their darkness and their lostness, he said to them, this is what you are. You are a brood of vipers. And God warned you, didn't he? God gave you a message and he said, you are then standing in his wrath. And then you have responded by coming here today. You see, this is how the Holy Spirit works. And you must give credit where credit is due. I'm not sure anybody really ever woke up on a Sunday morning and thought, I think it'd just be a good idea if I went down to that church. You know, those Faith Bible people, they're really good people and I like hanging out with them. Because they're not here. Because they would have thought of some other reason not to come in. They would have thought of some other thing to do. Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't have convicted them. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have reminded them that they're a brood of vipers and that they would show up for that. You see, I think that as we look at God's Word, as we see these things for what they are, that the things that God gives us is so we can learn and understand, so that we can figure this out. It's no accident, loved ones, that we celebrate Christmas every year. It's no accident. We think, well, you know, a bunch of guys just invented December 25th. Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, and they developed it over a pagan holiday. Okay, yeah, they did that too. But it's no accident that was placed on the heart of men at some time in our history, that they developed that, that they made that, that they brought that time, that they went through the struggles. It was first the Jews, and then it came out of the Jews, and it came to the Gentiles, and then the Gentiles continue to do it now to this very day. That as we continue to do these things, it's because God continues to move us. Loved ones, don't ever sell yourself short. If you are here today, if you're here today and you want to hear the Word of God, and I'm doing my best, but if you're here today to hear the Word of God, it's because God brought you. It's the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens by accident in God's plan. It is all set in place. And he said, yeah, but I don't really believe all this. I hear you. I stood and sat right where you're at. And I thought, I don't really believe all this either. But then we talked about baby Jesus and Christmas. And okay, yeah, that makes sense. But how was he God? You know, and so we have all of these things happen. But never, ever surrender the idea that the Holy Spirit won't bring you to him. Because if you stand in any moment of his presence, If you give Him any part of you, He will bring you the rest of the way. But it's because He called you first. What you did is you responded to that. If there's a part of you that just thinks that maybe this whole Jesus thing, there's something to it, that's because the Holy Spirit is speaking and you're starting to listen. Don't stop. Don't give up on God's plan, because God isn't going to give up on it. You see, as we bring ourselves to this understanding of what's happening here, that as He brings us out, and let's go back to our scripture here in 79. He says, this light that He has brought into this world, this child that He's given us, He's given Him to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace, because we were in rebellion before we came to Jesus. Others are still in rebellion. Some of us here today are still in rebellion. That maybe you've come so far, but you don't want to go the rest of the way. But the fact of the matter is that God is calling you, and that's why you're here. Why would you fight Him any further? Give up. Surrender yourselves to the Lord. Surrender yourselves in your rebellion, because He is talking to you in the Holy Spirit. God's voice is around you. It's with you. You hear it. So surrender to it. Give yourself over to it. See, in John 3:19-21, the apostle says, this is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. God knows what we do. God knows what we think. God knows what we feel. God knows what you're going through. God knows. God knows. He knows everything about you. And that as He speaks to you, as He searches you, as He talks to you, and you hear that, that's the Holy Spirit that's starting to work in you. When the Holy Spirit starts to work in you, you don't throw yourself on the ground and start barking like a dog. What you do is you look to heaven and you say, God, have mercy on me. What you do is the Lord calls you and He wants you to be a part of Him. He wants you to walk with Him, and you get back on the path and you say, yes, Lord, what do I need to do to repent of my sins? Yes, Lord, what do I need to do to be pleasing to You? For you see, in the prophecy that Zechariah gives us is the same prophecy that we've been told all along, that Isaiah gave that to us way back in Isaiah 59, the people are about ready to be cast off into the dispersion, and they're being sent off to be slaves to other men. And as they're getting ready to be sent off, this is the promise that Isaiah makes, or actually God makes through Isaiah. He says, the Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ, will come to Zion to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My Spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, on the lips of their descendants, from this time on and forever. God's words will be on their lips. He will be on our lips, that He will walk with us, that He will be with us, that He will watch over us. But we must surrender ourselves over to Him. We must give ourselves to Him. Even in the last vestiges of the darkness that remains in our hearts, that we must surrender that. You see, this is why we miss this opportunity every December. We miss it because it's not in our hearts to go out there and give them this gospel. It's not in our hearts then to surrender that to Him, because we're afraid of what they might think. And I want you to notice something, that the more and more that we surrender these opportunities, the more and more the world takes advantage of it. Happy holidays. Happy holidays. So as we go out into the world and we realize that we surrendered it, we've given it away, I think then we look and say, well, you know, the world is really evil. The world is really bad. It's a scary place. And we don't want to do that because, you know, if we call them brood of vipers, they might walk away. Well, the fact of the matter is they can walk away. It's because they didn't belong to Him. If you can walk away, it's because you didn't belong to Jesus. But if we surrender ourselves, as we continue to live in Him, if we remember these moments and these opportunities, then we will always have them, what Isaiah gave us in chapter 60 and verse 1 and 3. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The fact that Jesus works through us should show us that we have no work to do. He's doing it. And that we would just give ourselves to that work, that we would be His hands, that we would be the resemblance of Him in all that we do, that we would be the ones that would stand up and say, don't forget that what we're celebrating here is the fact that the Redeemer came into the world even as a baby so that you would believe. Because if He didn't, we would never believe Him. We would have just killed Him like all the other prophets and just disposed of Him. But God says, I got one for you. This is My Son. This baby I have given to you by the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit that remains here with you forever and has been here with you forever will continue to work in your lives. Loved ones, we just got to be careful that we don't pass this up anymore. We must always remember that this is the time that our light shines. This is the time that God gave us, that we could proclaim Christ born and people will listen. This is it. This is the time. We're going to get some more chances, by the way. I prophesy that we will have a December 25th next year. Yay. Loved ones, don't miss any more opportunities. Turn to the Holy Spirit. Let Him work through you. I'm telling you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're already hearing Him anyway. Just give in. Give in. Not to me, but to Him. Let Him guide you. Let Him lead you. Be that your challenge to speak your faith into the darkness. Speak the faith that God has given you as a present, as a gift in His Son. Father, I thank You so much for this time with Your people. I thank You, Lord, that You continue to remind us of Your strength and our weakness. I thank You, Father, that You remind us that Your power is power. Forgive us, Lord, and have mercy on us for the times that we neglect it. For You know, Lord, that in our hearts we just love You and want to follow You. We know, Lord, that there is nothing that gives us more peace than being with You. That we can have all the things of the world and without You we have nothing. But when we have You, when we have You, Lord, we have hope. Help us, Lord, to not miss any more of the opportunities that You bring us to. Help us, Father, to speak Your word to the people that You created and who are lost. And certainly, Lord, help us to speak it to ourselves so that we can remember that Christ was born because of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.